My name is Dean Cook. I represent the appellants. Prior to 2007, Texas had a secular state pledge of allegiance, which school children were to recite prior to or after citing the U.S. Pledge of Allegiance. And in 2007, the Texas State Legislature amended that state pledge of allegiance to include the words, "One State Under God." Now, Texas Education Code requires all public school children to recite the Texas Pledge once per day unless their parents request that they be excused from reciting it. And the appellants have children in Texas public schools, and there are two issues on appeal here. First is whether the requirement that Texas public school children recite the amended Texas State Pledge of Allegiance violates the Establishment of Religion Clause, given the fact that others who don't wish to recite it are compelled to attend school. And second is whether the district court erred in its use of the spatial versus as-applied analysis of the statute's constitutionality under the Establishment Clause.
Mr. Cook, would you please clarify which of the statutes are, what statute are you claiming to be unconstitutional?
It would be the
3101 of the Texas Government Code?
The Texas Government Code contains the text of the Texas State
I understand.
Pledge.
Okay. And this is one of my questions.
Right.
Do you allege that Texas Government Code Section 3100.01 is unconstitutional? Or are you alleging that 25.082 of the Texas Educational Code is unconstitutional?
It would have to be both of them in this circumstance, Judge.
I don't know if it has to be. What did you allege to be unconstitutional?
Texas Government Code is unconstitutional, Judge.
Government Code.
Okay. Correct, the pledge.
Okay. Now, well, go ahead and make your argument. I'll interject
okay.
when I need to.
Well, turning to the second issue first, the trial court, as I noted, erroneously applied a facial versus as-applied analysis in this case. And the court assumed that this was a facial challenge and said that under that standard, the plaintiffs had to show that under no set of circumstances would the act be valid. But the Fifth Circuit has stated, quote, "In Establishment Clause cases, facial attacks are considered under the Lemon Test, and the Supreme Court has refused to draw distinctions between facial and as-applied attacks." And that was cited by me as Ingebrigtsen v. Jackson Public School District.
But haven't other cases, Supreme Court cases, made a distinction in just this type of case?
I'm sorry, Judge.
Between as-applied and facial.
Yes, Judge, but, and I think Perry cites specifically Cutter v. Wilkinson.
Yeah.
Which is not a Lemon Test case. And in fact, if you look at footnote 6 of the Cutter opinion, the court says was not using the Lemon Test in that particular case. So I think that the conclusion to be drawn from Cutter is that in that particular line of cases, when the court is not using the Lemon Test, perhaps this facial versus as applied distinction may apply.
Okay, now I can ask the question that I want to ask, and that is, can this be anything other than a facial attack, given the fact that your, quote, as applied challenge is required by statute? In other words, it seems to me that your as applied challenge has to be a facial challenge to 25.082. Because that requires the children to make this pledge under certain circumstances.
Judge, are you saying that it has to be an as-applied challenge?
Has to be.
It has to be an as-applied. I think that the distinction has no applicability, this facial versus as-applied distinction in this type of case.
The only reason why the children have to recite the pledge is because of that statute, the government code statute.
Well, and actually, if you want to look at it that way, Judge, you can also look to the compulsory school statute, which requires students to attend public schools. It depends on how wide you want to cast the net. Arguably, if it wasn't for the compulsory school laws, then it wouldn't be an issue either.
But what I'm suggesting to you is when you say that this is an as-applied challenge because it applies to children in the school.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think as-applied means that. I think, that's a good question, Judge, in the sense that the courts are not always clear on what they mean by as-applied, and in different there seems to be different and subtle meanings of what is meant by as applied.
What do you mean?
I don't think that as applied applies, because I think that you look at the text of the statute or statutes, whether it's a single statute or a series of statutes that creates kind of a synthesis or a gestalt or whatever you want to call it, is the unconstitutional act by the government. And in this case, I think you could look at the education code plus the government code as the unconstitutional act.
Does the fact that the words of the pledge do not change make it a facial attack? In other words, we don't have the option of not including in under God.
You mean, for instance, if the Texas pledge is set in an adult context, for instance,
it makes not a whit bit of difference. You're an adult or a student. You have to say under God.
I actually think that whether it is an adult context or a child context makes a big difference. And the Supreme Court has repeatedly said in Establishment Clause cases.
And we're moving on to another issue. You got your time is running out.
Okay. I would also note in Bowen v. Kendrick, which is also cited by Perry regarding this facial versus as-applied issue, in Justice Blackmun's Bowen dissent, he says that the majority opinion implicitly rejects the application of such a rigid analysis as a no set of circumstances test in Establishment Clause cases. And that was cited in our brief. Turning to the legislative purpose, the proper test here is the Lemon test. And under the first prong of the Lemon test, the court must determine whether a statute has secular legislative purpose. And the legislature's purported secular purpose must be sincere and not a sham. And in determining that secular legislative purpose, the court should look to, one, the statute's text, and two, its legislative history associated with that text. Now, prior to 2007, the Texas State Pledge contained no reference to God. And after 2007, it was amended to include the words, one state under God, with a capital G. And looking just at the text of the amended statute, the words, one state under God, are religious. That's their ordinary and plain meaning. And the capitalization of the word God, I think, is important because it implies the legislature meant the God of Christianity and not simply some generic all-inclusive goodness that can mean whatever the listener happens to believe in. Saying that Texas is one state under God means that the state of Texas is subordinate to a deity that supposedly rules over us. It is a statement that the will of God is to set the rules by which the state of Texas is to be governed. It is a statement that Texas is a theocracy, not a secular republic. The state of Texas cannot even claim that the Texas State Pledge of Allegiance is patriotic, because it isn't a pledge to the United States. It's a pledge to the state of Texas. It advocates sectionalism, not patriotism. And Wallace, the Supreme Court, analyzed a moan of silence statute that was amended to add the word prayer, and determined that the addition of the word prayer was significant because there was already a pre-existing moan of silence statute that did not use religious language like prayer. And similarly, in this case, there was already a pre-existing Texas pledge that did not use religious language.
What is your strongest argument here? In your view,
Judge, if you look at the text of the statute.
Why should we rule in your favor?
If you look at the text of the statute, one state under God is a religious statement. And second of all, if you look at the legislative history, specifically the statement of legislative intent,
it seems to me, that you lose unless you, and I think you've made the point yourself, unless the enactment of this statute, of this particular statute, somehow separates it from the national pledge. Or the validity of the national pledge has been upheld by so many courts. Is that your argument?
Judge, I would say that's an issue actually that hasn't been determined in the circuit.
You're mumbling now. Speaking.
That has not been determined in the circuit, Judge, whether the U.S. pledge.
Well, I understand that, but there's no circuit that has not determined it except the Ninth Circuit that now rules the other way.
Right, Judge. That's true.
And so it's more or less accepted.
I would. The U.S. Supreme Court has not ruled on the matter. This circuit has not ruled on the matter. So, furthermore, I think that if you look at the text of the statute, and more importantly, the legislative history of this statute, specifically the statement of legislative intent.
Well, that's what I was pointing to, that you are essentially resting, though. I mean, your strongest argument is the legislative history of this particular statute. Is that right? The enactment, the amendments.
Judge, whether the U.S. pledge is constitutional or not constitutional, I haven't researched it enough to say for sure. I don't think it matters. I think that it is a very strong argument. I don't know if it's the strongest argument that the legislative history in this case shows a much stronger non-secular purpose on the part of the Texas state legislature.
Well, how is this an establishment of a particular religion? Now, that's what's...
That's a good question, Judge Sterritt. And I think that the issue here is that, well, I think it's an establishment of religion because they're speaking of the God of Christianity. Furthermore, it discriminates against other sects or other religious groups that may believe in plural gods, for instance, Hinduism, and that was established on the records, that the record on appeal that Hindus believe in multiple gods and that there are Hindus living in the state of Texas. Hindus are not allowed to say that Texas is one state under plural gods. And I think that right there shows discrimination between religious groups or religious sects.
Do you have standing for that?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have standing to urge that?
Judge, I think that we can't get into that. As long as my clients have children that attend Texas public schools, that is all that can matter for the standing inquiry. I think inquiring into the religious beliefs of my clients would, turn this into a sort of heresy trial in which it has to be determined what my clients' religious beliefs are in order for them to bring.
Article 3 requires an injury.
The injury is the injury to the First Amendment, Judge. I believe that I don't have it cited in front of me, but it's in my appeal brief at the beginning, that loss of First Amendment freedoms, even for a short period of time, undoubtedly represent an injury under the standing requirement. I don't remember which case that is, but it's quoted at the beginning of my brief. So if you look at the legislative history, turning back to the legislative history of this statute, there was a Texas Legislature House Journal Statement of Legislative Intent, and it reproduces an exchange between State Representative Riddle, who was the sponsor of the bill, and State Representative Hochberg. And that exchange was reproduced both in my brief and on the record on appeal. And in this exchange, Representative Hochberg asks Riddle if she would include the words, "with liberty and justice for all," in the new Texas pledge. And she refused, even though she claimed that she wanted the state pledge to mirror the national pledge. And that was adopted as a statement of legislative intent by the Texas state legislature, indicating that it speaks for the entire Texas state legislature.
Wasn't that also very late in the session?
I'm not too familiar with the rules of procedure regarding enactment of bills, but she
claimed, I
thought
that part of your brief indicated that Riddle indicated to this other representative that it was, I think it was the second call or something, and it was late and they'd have to start all over again, and that was one of the reasons why this was...
Yeah, I wasn't clear, and she went off on how she was a horsewoman and things like that, and I didn't, it seemed like she dodged the issue, basically. I'm not clear how legislative procedure works in that matter, so I'm not sure. All I know is that if she claims that she wanted to mirror the Texas pledge, or the national pledge, and and that was her purpose, then she basically contradicted herself, showing that it was a sham purpose because she didn't want to include liberty and justice for all, which is also in the U.S. pledge.
But under God does mirror under God in the national pledge?
Under God, well, it says one state under God, but yes, essentially it mirrors what is said in the national pledge. However, she never gave a coherent reason why she did not want to include with liberty and justice for all, and she seemed, if you read that whole passage, it seems like she dodges the issue. The fact that was adopted as a statement of legislative intent shows that the entire Texas House as a body was basically saying that, and that the Texas House was adopting her alleged intent, and it was clearly a sham purpose because they didn't want to include with liberty and justice for all. Representative Riddle also admitted during floor debate that one state under God and the Texas pledge was there to acknowledge the states.
Is that essentially your argument?
I beg your pardon?
Is that your argument, that it is a sham based on the fact that the entire amendment is a sham because it was based on the fact that it wanted to that some legislator said that it was based on the fact of conforming the state pledge to the national pledge, and there was not complete conformity?
Judge, I think that the inclusion of the words one state under God in the text in and of itself, you have to look at the text and the legislative history. I think that it, even just based on the text, it would be sufficient to show non-secular purpose, because one state under God, by its plain and ordinary meaning, is a religious statement. I think it's an implication that a deity sets the rules by which the state of Texas lives or governs itself, rather than the people of Texas, and basically states that...
Assuming that the national pledge is constitutional because it reflects the heritage of the country and reflects patriotism and that sort of thing, non-secular purposes, secular purposes, why would the Texas reference to God not reflect the same values except for the legislative amendment?
Assuming that you are correct that the U.S. pledge is constitutional, then it would fall to the legislative history that is different in the Texas pledge. I don't concede that the U.S. pledge is constitutional as it's currently written, but that is not before us. But assuming that that is true, then, Judge, I believe you would look at the legislative history of this Texas statute, but I think also the opposition is big on talking about context, and the context of the Texas pledge is not even the same in terms of its wording as the context of the U.S. pledge. So I think that one state under God could be unconstitutional simply by virtue of the fact that it's contained in a different verbal context, that there are different words and concepts used in the Texas pledge.
Your time is up.
I apologize.
I'll give you another minute if you want to make an argument that you have not addressed.
Right, Judge. Judge, I'll just leave it at that, and I've got 5 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Mr. Ho, we'll hear from you.
May it please the Court. It was Justice Brennan who proposed the voluntary recitation of the U.S. Pledge of Allegiance as an appropriate, secular, and constitutional way to begin each school day on a solemn note. After all, reciting the U.S. Pledge is a patriotic exercise, not a religious one, as the U.S. Supreme Court has repeatedly recognized, as this Court recently reaffirmed in Crawford v. Perry 1, and as other circuits have likewise held. We submit that there is no constitutionally meaningful difference between the U.S. pledge on the one hand and the Texas pledge, or for that matter, the pledges of Louisiana and Mississippi, which also invoke the phrase under God. The Texas pledge, after all, uses the same words recited at the same time to serve the same purpose, and that is a patriotic acknowledgement of our religious heritage. I want to spend just a brief moment talking about the legislative history, since that seems to be the focus of plaintiff's presentation. The legislative history confirms that the legislative interest in Texas was precisely the same as the interest in 1954 in Congress, and that is to provide a patriotic acknowledgement of religious heritage. Texans simply made the call that the best way to do that, the most historically established, constitutionally time-tested approach, was the U.S. pledge, the phrase under God, and so Texans simply wanted to mirror that same language. And of course, there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Well, I mean, did the statement that they wish to mirror the state pledge in the light of the national pledge was it preceded by the argument that they wish to recognize the religious heritage of Texas?
Right. They
did say that. The legislative purpose?
There are a couple of legislative purposes stated in the record. One is, and we would submit the primary purpose, is to provide an acknowledgement of the state's religious heritage. There's sort of a sub-purpose, which is, well, what's the best way to achieve that purpose? The best way is to mirror the U.S. pledge.
Now, how is that purpose reflected? Was it reflected in statements other than individual statements of legislators, or was it reflected in committee reports, or was it, did it have any kind of authority beyond that of the expression of an individual legislator?
It's cited in our brief, but it's primarily statements of individual legislators. I think there was one committee report that also mentioned this interest in the religious heritage, acknowledging the religious heritage of the state as mirroring the religious heritage of the nation. But the key point, I think, in terms of plaintiff's argument about mirroring, the Texas interest was simply to mirror the U.S. pledge insofar as the U.S. pledge also acknowledges the religious heritage of the nation. This notion that, this allegation, I should say, that Texans refuse somehow to use more language is actually not true. The record that plaintiffs themselves submit makes clear that, frankly, if that proposal had been put forth in a more timely fashion, that might have been accepted. Representative Riddle expressed openness about it. The problem was it wasn't a timely proposal.
What year was this amendment passed?
In Texas, it was 2007, Your Honor.
And is there any indication as to why some 50 years had passed before Texas had decided to reflect its religious values in a patriotic way?
In other words, why now? Why not before? The record.
I can see the light.
The record is admittedly silent on why that particular time, but I think it would be reasonable to observe that 2007 has a lot of similarities to 1954, an era of international turmoil, military activity, an appropriate time to think once again about our history as a state and our history as a nation. In short, we ask the court to affirm the judgment below, and if there are no further questions, we'd be happy to yield our time.
Okay, Mr. Yeo, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Mateer, as an amicus.
May it please the court, as with the military, the membership of my client, the American Legion, come from very diverse religious backgrounds and hold very different religious beliefs. But together they recite the same Pledge of Allegiance, at the same time to the same flag, honoring the same nation and the men and women who have risked and are currently risking their lives in the defense of our country.
Now, what is the, whom are you representing? What military?
I'm representing the American Legion, the Department
American
of Texas,
Legion.
Your Honor.
Okay. Go ahead.
Under appellant's theory of this case, these actions would make no sense. Why would current and former members of the military with diverse religious backgrounds, holding different religious beliefs, recite the same pledge, pledging allegiance to flag under the God? The reason is simple. Reciting the pledge is a patriotic act. It's not a religious one. American military culture and tradition has long made extensive use of religious imagery and references that serve to solemnize acts and events which highlight the sacrifice and service of our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces. Time and again, decisions from the Supreme Court and other circuits, the 9th, 4th, and 7th, and this court have recognized that the under God phrase contained in the pledge exemplifies an absolutely constitutional, acceptable, and even expected acknowledgement of our religious heritage. These decisions recognize repeatedly reciting the pledge is a patriotic exercise, not a religious one. Moreover, these decisions acknowledge that reference to under God in the pledge serves the legitimate secular purpose of solemnizing occasions and encouraging the recognition of what is worthy of appreciation in society. The history of both the United States and Texas contain almost identical acknowledgments of our religious heritage. Such acknowledgments are set forth in similar declarations of independence, speeches at critical times during war, official anthems, and even in the very first words of the Texas Constitution, which begins humbly invoking the blessings of the Almighty God. As a part of the United States, Texas has a proud religious heritage which it is entitled to acknowledge. Texas has the right to promote patriotism in its citizens, and thus the appropriate appreciation, honor, and respect for the American Legion's membership and those who are currently serving our nation in the armed forces. The American Legion Department of Texas joins with Governor Perry in respectfully requesting that this court affirm the ruling of the district court, upholding the constitutionality of the phrase "under God" in the pledge to the Texas flag. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKinney. All right, Mr. Cook, you're going to take on the American Legion of Texas?
We'll see, Judge.
It's a considerable undertaking.
I just have one quick point, and this was raised by Governor Perry as well, regarding the idea that this is not a religious exercise, that stating that Texas is one state under God is a patriotic act, not a religious exercise. I think if you that's a narrower interpretation of the case law than actually exists. If you look at Edwards v. Aguilard, which was a case involving the teaching of creation science in the context of the teaching of evolution, the court quoted Lee v. Weissman, or it was noted that in Lee v. Weissman, they said it was beyond dispute that at a minimum, the Constitution guarantees that the government may not coerce anyone to support or participate in religion or its exercise. If what they're saying is correct, the teaching of creation science is not per se a religious exercise. However, it was religion or teaching a religious viewpoint, and the U.S. Supreme Court there found that that was not constitutional, that that violated the Establishment Clause. So I think it's broader. You can't simply say that saying that one state under God is not a religious exercise, therefore it's constitutional. It has to do with the fact that one state under God is a religious viewpoint or has to do with promoting religion. And I think that the case law, especially Edwards v. Aguilard and Lee v. Weissman, makes that clear. And I thank the court for its time if it has no more questions.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. We call the next case of the